Think about all the time you spend on your phone and all the things you do with it. Order groceries, send photos to friends, even pay your rent. Now consider this. Your phone carrier could be collecting data on all that user activity. They say it's so they can better understand your interests, but really, they want to sell your activity to advertisers. That's why I use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that prevents your phone carrier from being able to see the sites you visit and sell it off to third parties. All it takes is one tap of a button, and all of your network data gets encrypted and rerouted through ExpressVPN's secure servers for ultimate privacy. Whether you're an iPhone, Android, or even tablet user, ExpressVPN works on all your devices. One subscription can be used on up to 5 devices at the same time. When your phone carrier tracks you, that's a gross invasion of privacy. You can either keep letting them cash in on you, or visit expressvpn.com/wire to get the same VPN I use. Take back your online privacy today and use our link to get 3 extra months free. That's expressvpn.com/wire. expressvpn.com/wire.
Texas A&M takes on Arkansas this weekend. Boston Celtics coach Ime Udoka faces a possible 1-year suspension, and a Utah fan threatened to detonate a nuclear reactor if they lost. Check it out and more on Crane & Company. Things haven't gone exactly as planned in Jimbo Fisher's 5th year at Texas A&M. After calling his shot against Bama last year, then firing one across the bow, signing the number one recruiting class. Now, the Aggies lost at home against App State a couple weeks ago, increased the chirping tenfold. So the question must be asked, is this a must-win for Jimbo in Arlington against the Razorbacks? Now, we all know he isn't getting fired if they lose this game. But if they do fall, the Aggies are looking at a possible 0-3 start in the league with trips to Starkville and Tuscaloosa on the horizon. And that will only increase the pressure cooker that Jimbo's already in. Now, the Aggie faithful can take some solace in a nice win against a highly ranked Miami team at home last week. But they still know the problems aren't solved and there are unanswered questions about this year's team. A&M has checked every box except the one that matters the most. Rings. All of the offseason hype and big-time commitments mean nothing if the Aggies don't compete for not only an SEC West title, but national titles as well. They just watched Georgia end the title drought of 40 years, and they've been waiting double that time since 1939. Now, Jimbo has a chance to avoid another iceberg this Saturday, but if he doesn't, the people that matter might get one step closer to the lifeboats. I want to bring in co-host, former Michigan quarterback David Cohn, and it's Friday. So, of course, sitting to my right is...
This is flaming vodka!
Wow. We should do this every day. I think this, like...
No, we shouldn't just be a Friday thing.
I think it should be an every day.
No, you're ruined.
I'm going to ask the Booster Club. We're going to have a focus group about it and see what the analytics say.
Universe can't handle that level of...
I don't know. There's many dimensions. There are many universes.
I'm not calling you Flaming Dragon every day. I'm not doing it.
You barely do it on
Friday. I'm using your government name every other day of the week except Friday. We gave you Friday.
We're using Gubbies out here?
That's my name.
We can use some Gubbies.
We can do that for sure.
I'll call the redheaded girl off that one movie when they found Bin Laden, and she was pretty stoked about it. We'll use some Gubbies.
Zero Dark Thirty?
Exactly.
I don't think I saw that.
That one I've seen.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Solid movie.
That one I saw.
Zero Dark Thirty?
I think I've seen that.
Still watch movies that Hollywood made. Now I only watch movies that Daily Wire makes.
And I make.
And that you make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I make good movies.
I told you about a movie. It's called Outer Space.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I've heard about it.
All right. Cody,
Jimbo Fisher.
Must win is a term that I think you can loosely apply. But it hasn't been all rainbows and friendship in College Station because it seems like A&M continues to lose games that at this point in Jimbo's tenure in Aggieland that they shouldn't lose. And you got to give credit to App State. But the lack of explosive plays at A&M continues to be a problem. And you have to have those, especially in big games. You're not just going to be able to line up and run inside zone and split zone and power and counter and just throw intermediate and quick game at people. the whole season. You have to have at least the threat of going vertical. Mm-hmm. A&M's problems offensively, a lot of them stem from the quarterback. Now, look, Kellen Mond got drafted. He did some things at A&M. They went, you know, a really good record on the COVID year and stuff like that. But it seems to me they haven't been able to break through because offensively, when they play anybody with a pulse on defense, everything seems hard to move the ball down the field. Now, with Max Johnson going up against this Arkansas secondary, we're going to get into that in Keys to Victory. You would think there would be some explosive plays. But it's also somewhat boring to watch. Like, if you're an Aggie fan and you're watching the game, you want to see A-Chain, you know, hit the home run. But you also want to see a vertical ball that's caught. Mm-hmm. You want to see somebody that catches a post and goes scores. Or somebody that catches the dig, shakes the safety, or breaks the tackle and goes score. And, you know, breaks a 65, 70-yard run or something because they're so worried about getting beat deep. And to get over the hump in the SEC West, to be able, and I know they beat Alabama last year. Why did they, what was one of the biggest reasons they beat Alabama last year? They hit some
Zach
what?
Zach Calzada. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's exactly. Explosive plays down the field. That was one of the few games they hit explosive plays down the field. So when I look at A&M, and the structure, we know his contract again. He's not getting fired. But if he loses this one, mm-hmm. all right, and then you go and lose at Mississippi State and Alabama, and you're, which I said, I think there's a good chance I could start out 0-3 this season, all right, and that Max Johnson needed to be the quarterback, both of which, one has already happened.
Yep.
The other can possibly happen. Imagine an 0-3 SEC start, Cone.
Which because, you kind of called.
Well, yeah,
you had them 1-2 or something, but you called this A&M season being down.
Yeah, yes, and I think 2023 is the year, and nobody wants to hear that. Well, my answer is, well, you've waited since 1939. What's
that's my
year?
Point, too.
But Cone, the pressure, at what point, if it were to get to that 0-3 point, at what point do you start hearing the chirping being legitimate from people that matter? Not the fans, yeah. Not media members, but people that actually matter saying, you know what, maybe there is actual doubt about whether Jimbo can do this, and then that will just do nothing but turn 2023 into not make or break, but you better do something.
Yeah, I mean, they can chirp all they want. I don't think it's going to amount to anything because Texas A&M, and you're talking about the people who matter, those are the people with the checkbooks. They've gone all yep. in on Jimbo Fisher, yep. and I still think that it was the right move. This guy was the heir apparent to Bobby Bowden at Florida State and won a national championship there. It made sense to go after a guy like that when he was having problems with the Florida State administration. It was a good hire. I know that his buyout right now is $85 million. That's significant.
They did.
$85 million.
They got
even
it,
for
come.
Texas oil money, that's yeah. significant. The loss to Appalachian State's a bad loss. I'll tell you what's just as bad to me is not getting the quarterback position right. Now, yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I have a hard time believing that Jimbo Fisher, knowing as much as he does about the quarterback position, sat there and evaluated both those guys through a spring and through a fall and got the wrong guy. Okay, like I don't know what Haynes King was doing in practice. Maybe he was incredible in practice and just didn't show up into the games. But either way, while those things are not ideal, I'll say, I think that Texas A&M is tied to Jimbo Fisher, and the thing that will save him is the number one recruiting class. That's the thing. Let me read you a couple of stats I found here real quick. Through the first 50 games as a head coach at Texas A&M, wins, Kevin Sumlin 36, Jimbo Fisher 35. Wins against ranked teams, Kevin Sumlin 9, Jimbo Fisher 7. Ranked road wins, Kevin Sumlin 5, Jimbo Fisher 0. Losses to group of 5 schools, Jimbo Fisher 1, Kevin Sumlin 0. But it's that number one recruiting class for next year. And just like you've been saying, 2023 is the year, right? We're going to stack recruiting classes on top of each other. I think while you can point to this and say, well, Kevin Sumlin's had more success early on than Jimbo Fisher did, you can at least say, well, he's trending in the right direction and next year's our year.
Yeah, well, to me, Kevin Sumlin was building an offense.
Yes.
Jimbo Fisher's building a program. The way that program, the trajectory of Texas A&M, after Manziel left and Mike Evans left and those guys were gone, guys that were responsible for a lot of those wins that you were just talking about, and one who won the Heisman, there wasn't the accountability within the program you needed to be able to actually compete with Alabama and Georgia now with Kirby and the SEC. And the SEC, in my opinion, it's always tough. New teams pop up, other teams go down. But when I look at A&M, I think it's coming. I think it's coming because the talent is going to be there. And eventually, when you do run a tight ship, in my opinion, the way Jimbo does, now I know they had trouble with Denver Harris and a couple of those other guys out there messing around in the car or whatever, the only way that you're going to have a chance to win an SEC West title and play in that SEC championship game and make the playoff is if your program is a machine of accountability, talent, development, and culture.
Yep.
And with Jimbo Fisher, there's a much better chance of you doing the things off the field that lead to good things on the field than with Kevin Sumlin.
Yep.
So again, you know, the women lie, men lie, numbers don't lie, and those numbers would worry me somewhat if I'm an Aggie fan. But as far as a 10-year plan, I feel like Jimbo Fisher puts the program in a better spot.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, but I mean, they're almost the Notre Dame and the SEC. It's every year. Every year is Texas A&M. And then trust me, I understand being somewhat delusional on a fan base. Like, you need to be somewhat delusional to make it to where you need to go. As being an Auburn fan, we're delusional as hell.
Yeah, how do you think but anybody under 6'5 makes the NBA?
Exactly. So it's every year with A&M. This is a year we got the guys. What scares me the most about Jimbo Fisher is that he's a quarterback guru, and he watched Haynes King through spring, through fall, I mean, come in and start day one when he knew Max Johnson was better. He had to know. There's no way you can go through all that and not know Max Johnson's better. There's no way.
Well, no way.
And it's not close, in my opinion. You want a guy, and yeah, I mean, let's think about it. Texas isn't a great defense, right? It's a defense you can lean on. You want a quarterback in there who has what? Experience. Max has experience. A guy who can do what? Play within the offense. You saw that against Miami. They win that game. Max Johnson plays against App State. I think they win that game. There's mistakes that you're not used to seeing from a guy who's supposed to be your savior, your quarterback whisperer. But it gets to the point where every time football season comes around, I'm waiting for Texas A&M to drop the ball. And they do it mostly every year.
Well, you know who that sounds like, who you're describing? Georgia, before they won the national championship last year. So, like, to me—
Georgia was losing the national championship.
They were winning conference.
You're chasing the natty here. You poll 80% probably of Aggie fans. What do you want to win this year? The national championship. Mm-hmm. They're not going to say the SEC West. Now, obviously, that kind of comes into the fold. But when it comes to Haynes King, I think there's a couple things with Max Johnson. Max Johnson did come over. Haynes King gets hurt last year against Colorado early in the season. Did some good things, but you didn't really know. He didn't really have a chance to show it. You didn't 100% know. I looked at it. I didn't trust him just by the way he threw the ball. So you have that injury. He goes down. Max transfers over. New offense. Coach's kid. I mean, former player's kid. Quarterback's kid in Brad Johnson. He can pick it up pretty quick. So I don't think it's I don't know what's going on, even though Jimbo does ask the quarterbacks to do a lot and the terminology is different. Also, I think Haynes King can be one of those cats that in practice looks elite. Like, because he knows the game's not on the line.
I think you're right about
that. And you have a different colored jersey on. You know you're not getting hit. And you play the position. Mm-hmm. It's a lot different feeling when you're running around and scrambling around knowing that you got that different colored jersey on and they can't hit you. You may be willing to take some chances and stay in there that you wouldn't take.
They say it's different on State Street than on Main Street.
That's exactly
right. Where the
stadium
is in the practice.
That's exactly right. I think Haynes King was a little bit of practice fool's gold. Oh, he runs good. Oh, he's got a big arm. But in the game, I mean, he was Jody Foster. Where's the panic room? Every time in the pocket. I mean, he would pump fake and then throw to wide open guy. Pump fake a wide open guy and then throw to the wide open guy and miss him. He just didn't look comfortable. Maybe it's too much on his plate. Maybe he got in the game. Some guys just freak out in the game. It just happens. Like, oh boy, from Friday Night Lights after Booby got hurt. When he goes in, first play, what does he do? Gets the ball, runs straight out of bounds. Like, son, you played running back. Like, go. This is a physical game. So I think with Haynes, it was a little bit of fool's gold. But I tell you what's not fool's gold? The Booster Club. But before we get there, make sure you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use promo code Booster, B-O-O-S-T-E-R, and you get $200 in free bets instantly. All right? That's 200 American dollars in this economy. And you get that when you place a $5 bet on any football game. All right? That's promo code Booster. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, their official partner, sports betting partner of the NFL. We all know minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply, Blaine. So see show notes for details. That'll help you out as well.
That's one.
That's right.
What?
I said the bat.
That's when I even have it.
I said the bat. No. That's one. I get one, man. Come on.
It'll be, we already were talking about it. It's over 2.5. We're taking
Wait, is that the DraftKings line?
Yeah, we're taking the over for sure, getting called Blaine.
You think DraftKings should put...
Yes.
A line on how many times on Friday over under that I will say your actual name instead of
I think on Fridays, DraftKings should change the front of the app to my face.
Just to your face.
Flaming dragon.
With the card that they made? Didn't they make a, what'd they make, a card?
Yes.
Pokemon card?
Oh, yeah. Somebody on social media
card.
Made
they sent me a card through the mail to apologize about what happened to me last night. Apology not accepted, but I appreciate the gesture. It's nice.
Yeah, we're going to get to the bets. I got interesting, especially late. I had that all. I had the Steelers-Browns alternate line over 37. Hey, Pittsburgh, great job kicking the field goal to make it a one-score game. That's smart coaching, Mike Tomlin. I appreciate you. But Blaine, what's the Booster Club saying, thinking? And
yeah, we have a comment here from Rex. Don't want to say his last name. He says, I think the point is that with the money that they're pouring into the program, talking about Texas A&M, and that they're paying Jimbo, they shouldn't have transitional years like you see in a sub-top-tier program.
Well, wait.
Fair enough.
It's hard to argue that, okay? I'm paying you this amount of money. I need you to go ball. I get it. That's how it works. I do think, though, in college football, like through a five-year span, let's say they do get it rolling, you start seeing the rings coming in, the Frodo Baggins treatment. You can have a year of 8-9 wins in between that. It just happens sometimes with injuries. Maybe the schedule doesn't line up good. You just need to get over that hump. That's what you need. Texas A&M hadn't won the West. Missouri? They played in the SEC championship.
Let me say
South Carolina, they've done it. Arkansas, they've done it.
To Texas A&M fans, because when Jim Harbaugh got hired at Michigan, that was our guy. That was our guy. He, not only did he play there, but he played for Bo Schembechler. He played quarterback, and it was like, what a great hire that is. And he struggled early, struggled year after year. Couldn't win the conference, couldn't win the division, didn't make the playoffs. And I would get asked every single day by friends, former players, fans, like, what do you think about Jim Harbaugh? Is it time to move on? And there did come a time where I said, yeah, I think it might be time to move on. I mean, it's Michigan. It's Michigan, and that's how Texas A&M fans feel. And I love that they're so proud of their university that every season they think, yeah, we're back. It's our year. So then maybe it's time to move on. And now it seems like Jim Harbaugh does have things going in the right direction, very similar to Jimbo Fisher in that he's a quarterback developer. That's what was so frustrating. We're not developing quarterbacks. So if you're a Texas A&M fan, you're thinking, well, where's our Jameis Winston, right? Where is that for us? So I will say now that I see my alma mater headed in the right direction, winning some of the bigger games. I mean, look, I know it's only 1 year last year, but things are starting off well this year, and at least we're playing competent at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. I will say, you know, moving on from a guy too soon before he's able to establish the foundation he needs, especially when he is having success in recruiting, that could be detrimental moving forward.
But it's 5 years, though. I mean, we're on year five.
Jim Harbaugh didn't beat Ohio for six years, you know? And maybe even still it won't work out for him. That's what I'm saying. But I am saying that last year he did get over several of those big humps and was able to make the college football playoff. And, you know, when we're talking about Texas A&M, they want to win the national championship. I know that. But right now they would certainly be taken winning the division.
Oh, for sure.
The conference. Or, yeah. You know, even last year beating Alabama, you saw what that did for that fan base, mm-hmm. you know?
And that program in recruiting.
They can replicate that.
I mean, you had one win and it just flamed the whole offseason. Maybe if Jimbo Fisher and Jim Harbaugh doesn't work out, they could combine to make it like one coach, Jimbo Harfisher.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
What do you think about that?
I don't want him on my team, but, you know.
It's like man, bear, pig. What else, Blaine? That's okay. Where it gets me when I go to the, you know what? I'm writing it down. I'm not saying it again. The over's 2.5. Is that what we said?
I'm sure I have.
That's
why we're gonna hit it before we like. It's already established.
No, don't worry. I'm locked in.
Every time he says your name,
ain't a point. On Friday, just mess it up.
Nope.
Every time we do, you mess it up.
I swear, I am not going to go over. Not gonna go over. Promise.
What are they saying?
What else?
That Jake's gonna go over.
No, I'm not.
Okay, let's go first, real quick. For both of you, pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
I'm gonna go waffles.
Waffle guy as well. Let's go to Travis Elrod. TLRod, what's up, my guy? # Ask Crane & Company. Does Texas A&M have a Texas problem of too many cooks in that kitchen?
I don't think so. They let Jimbo do whatever he wants. Mm. Like this isn't they look. Alabama hit rock bottom. What did they do? Nick Saban here. Take all of it. Fire who you want to hire. Hire who you want to hire. If you want to change the wallpaper, whatever. Fire the president. Doesn't matter. Do whatever you want. We just want to get back to relevance and prominence. And it worked. Georgia hires Kirby. Goes against Kirby Smart. Kirby says, I want everything that Nick has. They say, you know what? You got it. We want that natty. And it worked. Mm. Texas A&M looks at Georgia. Like, hey. Kirby's doing pretty good over there. Jimbo Fisher? All right. He was already at A&M. Here's everything. You want all of it? We'll give you all of it. The whole kit and caboodle. The potatoes. The mac and cheese. The salad. The steak. The onions. The peppers and everything. So, I think they've given him full control. It's on Jimbo, okay? It's on Jimbo to do this. Like, there's no more excuses. There's no more anything else. It's on Jimbo to do it. And if you start out 0-3 in SEC play, it's going to get ugly. Mm. It's going to get ugly. Those midnight yells are going to turn into midnight terrors.
Well, they already are kind of terrifying when I see them. Some of the clips that I see from those.
Look, man, I feel like I don't want to sit here and be harsh on A&M fans. Like, I really don't because I like most of A&M fans. But that's – if it'd be better if it was funny.
I don't mind it.
It's not like, funny. It's so cringy. Like, at least get someone up
but
there.
But it's their thing, though.
Do they just show the worst parts, though? Do they, like...
Yeah, like
the they put the whole thing on there. You can watch the whole thing.
But do you watch the whole thing?
Can at least someone... No.
You need to
at least somebody... Like, can someone just, like, give them somewhat good material to work with? Because, like, it's one of those things, the more I listen, just the cringier it gets. And look, the yelling and stuff like that, the torches... At midnight, weird, yeah, but okay. It's y'all's thing. It's cultish, but I understand it. SEC football is cultish in its own way. But when they do, like, they make fun of the team for, like, 10 minutes and, like, say a joke and, like, lean back and just – someone needs to help them with the material because it's terrible.
A&M fans are about to come after you.
I don't care. Well, my thing is, but isn't that part of kind of what makes college football great? Is
yes.
It, like, A&M has that. Auburn, we throw toilet paper on a tree.
True. But okay. That's understandable.
At Alabama, none of them are from Alabama, so they just come and hang out.
Yeah. I get it.
You're
going to
get the Texas A&M hate. You're going to get the
it's
Alabama
not hate.
Hate.
It's not hate. Hate.
It's not hate.
What does Alabama...
It's
what, I'm trying to think of Alabama's it's traditions other than going to Gillette's.
Win. Like,
yeah. Sport. Oh, we want to get... They didn't get excited
poisoning
anymore.
Things. That's about it. Yeah, too much Bama in him.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some girl had too much Utah in her. Here in a little bit. One more Flaming Dragon.
Okay, let's go to Gavin C. What's up, Gavin?
What's up, Gav?
Okay, I like this. Jimbo got handed a roster to FSU to win a natty. Once he got his own players, then he turned that program into absolute garbage. Jimbo has always been a garbage coach.
Mm. Wow.
Well, coming in hot.
Gavin, I love it
on a Friday.
Gavin, who do you root for? Because I have a feeling who you root for. But who?
He says he's an A&M fan.
He's an A&M fan.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I'm lying. He didn't say that. I was about to say
that was unbelievably quick. I'm going to hold. I'm going to reserve what I say until we know who Gavin is a fan of. Because I want to ask him something.
Okay.
I always find this question for people that are certain fans of a place that say things like this very hard for them to answer. So we'll wait. Flaming Dragon, one more.
Let's go to Joseph Lavelle. What's up, Joseph?
Joseph, what's up?
You're welcome to the Booster Club. Hashtag Ask Crane and Company, do you guys think there's any chance that Jacoby Brissett starts over Watson with how effective and efficient?
Man, you know, there's a couple things that Jacoby Brissett does that is very smart that people don't realize. He's unbelievably cerebral with the ball. One of the reasons, yeah, you were around a guy that was pretty cerebral with the ball at the quarterback position in New England a little bit. There was a play last night. This, to me, sums up how smart Jacoby Brissett is. You're coming off a game against the Jets in which you blew it at the end. You were up 13 at the end.
I'm going to put it on him.
No, I'm not talking about... The Browns blew it.
Okay, there you
go. Not Jacoby Brissett. Now, they should have ran the ball more. Kevin Stefanski should have ran the ball more at the end of the game. Pulled a Mike Shanahan a little bit. But there was a play. I think there was maybe 5.5, 6 minutes to go. It was before the Steelers got the ball back. It was 3rd and 12. All right, Nick Chubb had just gotten – Steelers knew they were running. They slanted opposite of the back, ended up running into it. It was 3rd and 12. They tackled Nick for a loss. And the Browns called a pass play. And you just saw Amari Cooper run a 9 route. They just ran a vertical route. What I'm assuming Kevin Stefanski was trying to do was just have Jacoby throw the ball down the field, and either it's caught, Either it's pass interference or it's intercepted and it's like a punt mm-hmm. and Pitts, the Steelers are back. All three of those things, outside of it being caught, you know, not for a touchdown, would have stopped the clock. Jacoby Brissett drops back in the pocket, and Amari Cooper looked like he was not even with the DB, was a little bit past him. Jacoby Brissett held the ball and took the sack. Why? People say, oh, why? Nope. Why would you do
tick,
that?
Tick, 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 tick,
he
tick.
He decided to not take the chance because that alarm went off in his head about last week of, I do not want to give the Steelers any hope of coming back in this game. So what does he do? He takes the sack. Yep. The Steelers don't burn their last time out. It took another 40 seconds off the clock, ends up helping you win the game. It's those smart, tiny, cerebral plays that you don't see and really don't know unless you're actually looking for it that can separate it. So I think if Jacoby Brissett and the Browns, which, by the way, I think Kevin Stefanski at Cleveland now is 12-3 coming off a loss, which is pretty daggum good. Stefanski's a hell of a coach. I think you're legitimately going to have to give Brissett a shot. Hell, if Jerry Jones is saying they're going to give Cooper Rush a shot if he plays well against Dak Prescott, why not? Why would you not give Jacoby Brissett a shot? I guarantee he's not going to go out there and harass any masseuses.
Yeah, that's
he's true. Not going to make the program look bad. He is a guy that you can build a team around. And I tell you what, watching Jacoby throw the ball, I knew he had some arm strength.
He can sling.
He's got
man.
An absolute
I'm telling you, a rope. Yes.
So there was a throw he made to Njoku.
On the post or yeah, on the seam?
On the seam.
On the seam route?
That was an absolute. He threw one to Amari Cooper so hard. This wasn't a slant. Mm-hmm. Okay, this ball was 12 to 15 yards down the field that he threw to Amari Cooper. He ran a little slip that it was so hard that it popped off Amari Cooper's hands, but the sound it made sounded like somebody, like Bigfoot hitting an oak tree.
It's so funny you say it because I was noticing the exact same thing on both of the slant patterns to Amari Cooper and then a couple of the seams to the tight end that you're talking about. I'm like, man, I didn't know that he had a rocket like this. I
mean, he has a laser.
Full body.
A laser.
I've always liked Jacoby Brissett. I know his win-loss record in the NFL right now isn't great. And I don't know. We haven't seen Deshaun Watson in a couple years. I just know you don't give a guy $250 million yeah. guarantee and he doesn't start. But I'm telling you, there's other teams in the NFL. And if you're another team in the NFL, maybe you have some questions at the quarterback position. Once Deshaun Watson comes back, I would be interested in going and getting Jacoby Brissett and seeing what he could do for my team. This guy's filled in for Andrew Luck at the Colts when he retired, right? Mm-hmm. He's filled in for Tom Brady when he had that suspension and Jimmy Garoppolo went down. Now he's filling in, and he's more than serviceable to me, filling in for Deshaun Watson. So, I don't know. He has a rocket. He's cerebral. I like the guy.
I do, too. I'm rooting for him and Geno Smith, man. To two guys that
Geno's can sling it too, man.
Geno can. I hope Geno's able to kind of resurrect it because, man, I think Geno throws a really pretty ball, like a really pretty deep ball. But, you know, you root for those guys that have struggled early, that had a lot of hype coming out. And sometimes it takes a little time to find yourself, right? We're talking about Jimbo and A&M. They asked Geno Smith before the season, they're like, you know, what is the thing to this point that you are focused on the most? Very solid answer. I'm protect the ball. Protect the ball. He's like, I took too many chances in this league with the speed in this league. We always say on the show, you never go broke what?
Making a profit.
You never go broke. Making a profit.
Let's those go two ahead. Guys, you know what you don't hear a lot about those two guys a lot? Because they don't get in a lot of trouble either.
That's exactly
you know
right.
What? They're not causing any problems off the field.
They want to win. That's what they want to do. They want to win, make their money, take care of their families. Let's talk about this game last night, the NFL game. Steelers, Browns. Let's start with the Steelers offensively. I didn't think Matt Canada was that bad calling plays last night. I thought that he gave the Steelers a chance. I mean, George Pickens makes the wild catch. We saw what he was doing during the offseason there, or the preseason, as they were prepping for that. And I think we actually have a clip of it. Let's go and run the clip of this George Pickens catch because this guy's got mitts, okay? Literal mitts. Should be sponsored by Rawlings. Let's go ahead and run the clip. It's a little similar. Watch this. Got a little Odell in him.
By George little Beckham. Odell Beckham action.
Blaine, your receiver.
I want people to realize how hard of a catch that is.
You making that catch, Blaine?
You're over outside shoulder. Your head's at an angle. You're not seeing where you catch this ball, yeah. right? Your eyes are like, you're not seeing.
You have
like,
a helmet on.
You're losing eye tracking, right? So you're guessing at that point. And he caught the corner. I'm telling you, this kid is going to be an absolute problem.
Y'all have the one from Georgia?
Someone yeah, there's
after I tweeted about this.
Yes, there is a catch he made during practice at Georgia that is one of the greatest catches that I've ever seen. And they showed the Odell Beckham Jr. highlight and stuff last night. Pickens has a long way to go, but he's overtly physical.
Well, Odell's was with like three fingers.
Yeah, Odell's.
And it was like,
and it was a touchdown.
That one was
it was different.
Yeah. This one was from Georgia that someone sent us, though.
Let's go ahead and run the clip. This is witchery at its highest. Look at this. No, there's no audio. He caught the inside. So think about it. You just saw him catch one that he couldn't track at the end with his hand behind him like that. That's already hard. He went jumping up, went across and over the ball. Do you know the hand strength that you have to have to be able to make? If you're on audio, you need to go to YouTube right now and watch this catch. That's one of the best catches I've ever seen in baseball, football, dating life, fishing. One of the best I've ever seen.
Do you know the confidence I would have playing the quarterback position, throwing someone like that the football?
Yeah, throw it.
Throw it.
Just don't throw it in the stands. And George Pickens has a chance to catch it. But offensively, let's start with the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I do think they took some chances. I love Warren.
Man, Mitch didn't play bad.
Mitch didn't play bad at all. He made a couple throws, especially at the end. The throw he made to Freiermuth, the tight end, going to that last drive, was an absolute dot. I mean, you put that ball through a donut hole. But they took chances down the field and got rewarded. Mm-hmm. And got rewarded. And that opened up what? Najee a little bit. You saw it early. But Mitch, at no point in that game did I say, you know what, put Kenny Pickett in.
Yes, I agree.
At no point in that game, I mean, the offensive line we know from the Steelers isn't great. All right, that they moved the pocket. I thought Matt Canada was smart to move the launch point. You saw him rolling. They were running pick plays early, not just backed up. And I've never understood why offenses don't do this more. You always see offenses when they're like backed up, when they're going to throw, they run some sort of sprint out or you know, front side rollout. They run some pick play out of a three-man set where you get the two that run off and the one that goes underneath, and you get in second and four. Safe pass play, especially when you're getting man, which you get a lot down at the goal line. I've never understood why more offenses don't do that on first down, like anywhere. Like, why don't you do it more? They like wait till they're backed up in the goal line to do it. I don't understand why they do it. But I thought Mitch looked pretty good. The Steelers, though, until that offensive line gets shored up, because look, Deontay Johnson had a couple drops last night. He's a really good player, but had a couple drops last night. We know Pickens is a young guy, has a chance to be special. Najee Harris is a really, really good back. Like I said, I love the Warren kid, the undrafted kid out of Oklahoma State. He was nice, little wrecking ball. So the Steelers showed some flashes, but offensively, man, with the gauntlet they have, I know they play the Jets next, but then it's like at the Bucks. It's like the Chiefs, Heaven's Army, Sauron and the Orcs.
You're talking about the Warren kid. Was that the running back?
Yeah.
Man, he's good. He fumbled once, I think, but man.
He did. Well, man, watch him take that. He's just shifty and he's small and thick.
He's averaging like 10 yards a carry.
Yeah, well, you know, they had that block in the back or whatever on that little Utah shuffle pass they hit to him. He dropped for about 40 yards. Which would have been over at that point, but
I mean, I thought it was just a mediocre game with mediocre performances, and I mean, that's what you're going to get. You saw two, realistically, in my opinion, backup quarterbacks go at it. And one thing I was surprised about is the Browns were pretty successful running the ball. I think Chubb had over 120 yards, you know, which you want to see. And the Steelers ran the ball really well, but I mean, I thought they're. Other than the Pickens play, I mean, the one thing I did like from the Steelers is they pushed the ball down the field a little bit more than we're used to seeing. But, I mean, you're going to be a 500 win percentage team with Mitch Trubisky, your quarterback, probably at best. So I can understand if you want to roll through the season doing that, that's fine. But you need a difference maker at quarterback. Mm-hmm. If you want to win the games that you're not supposed to win, you have the players outside. So, I mean, I thought it was decent. That fumble killed me. I'm going to be honest. It still hurts. But I thought you know what you're getting out of Jacoby Brissett. You know what you're getting from the Browns, but I feel like there's still just more on the table for the Steelers. I really do. They have the talent.
Not up front.
They have the defense. Well, up front on the defense, up a receiver, at running back, they do. And up front, they're not bad. They're not bad at all. I mean, go look at their ranking on the offensive line. But I still think you're going to be mediocre with Mitch Trubisky if you want to try to get over the hump someone. I know he's a rookie quarterback. You want him for a city year. And if you want to be 500 this year, you'll keep Mitch in the game.
I'll tell you why Mitch Trubisky was able to have success. There was no pressure on him. For 2.5 quarters, that front four for the Browns was not getting any pressure on him. He was able to sit back there and look like Joe Montana or something. On the flip side of that, we were talking about Jacoby Brissett was able to have success down the field. They did a little bit. What my key to victory was, they pitched backwards. Yeah. They were play action on first down, which is what I think you have to do. You knew the Steelers were going to stack the box. Why? I mean, when you have Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, they know you're going to run on early downs. They were able to play action and win. They lined up in shotgun a couple downs and threw on first down. I thought that was a little bit of a mistake. Go ahead and take advantage of your run game and play action on first down. Yeah. But they did that, and they were able to push the ball down.
I thought they did a good job of getting the ball to the tight end on early downs.
Man,
especially early in the game.
Joku's good.
Joku's a monster.
Where'd he come from again?
I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I want to say like Temple or something like that.
The ACC team.
I think it's a Temple.
Did Joku play in Miami?
Was it Miami? That sounds right. But they were getting the ball to Joku on early downs, and they were playing ahead of the chains. And how do you?
Man, he did play at Miami.
Good call. When I look at first down, nothing worried me more as a defensive coordinator than teams that were unpredictable on first down.
Mm-hmm.
Because typically, I have a good idea what personnel you're going to be in, what you're going to call on first down. A lot of offensive coordinators play it safe on first down. The ones that they typically take shots are second one, second three, even third and one sometimes. You'll get a shot every now and then on first and 10, but when do you typically get that shot? After what? After a turnover.
Mm-hmm.
That's typically when you get it. But
and my last comment on the Browns offense, the pin and pull game they have.
Yes. So fun to watch.
Oh, my goodness.
If people don't know the difference between pin and pull and power and counter and stuff like that. So pin and pull is when an uncovered offensive lineman, it's really a zone run, okay, is when an uncovered offensive lineman goes ahead and pulls. It's not a dictated, this guy is definitely pulling on this play like it is with power and counter, because the difference in power and counter, one guy's pulling, counter, two guys are pulling. Now, when they have a tackle pull or a guard pull with a tight end, we called that trucks. Because we wanted to make sure we differentiated a tight end and an offensive lineman pulling as opposed to two offensive linemen pulling, if that makes sense. So the pin and pull game, because it gives you a chance to be somewhat diverse, well, even more diverse in the zone run game, which is way more diverse than the power. That's why whenever you see somebody in college last week cut back the power and went and scored, which you never see, it's just alien vision sometimes that takes over. But Flaming Dragon.
Yes.
I'm still at two. Yeah. What does the Booster Club say?
A couple of donations here. Let's go to Jordan Kilgo. What's up, Jordan?
Jordan, what's up, buddy?
Hashtag Company, a $4.99 donation.
Hit that button, David.
Thank you, Jordan. We're rich. It's Hugh Freeze. All right, here
we go.
It's Hugh Freeze, the best option at AU solely based on his former success recruiting in the SEC and against the one and only Alabama?
There's two great options right now, in my opinion. Not that there aren't a couple other good options, but there's two options that make you feel really good if they happen. Both guys, what do them and a NASCAR driver that just won a race have in common? They both got a checkered past. All right. Hugh Freeze, we all know what went down. On the field, Hugh Freeze, from a schematic standpoint, and I know at Liberty it's kind of been more vanilla than what it was at Ole Miss. The guy can coach it up, can scheme it up, and he knows how to get the best players the ball. Okay, that's what he does. He realizes it's about matchups. They have a ton of options with the RPO game and stuff like that. At Ole Miss, what he was doing with the personnel they had early, and then obviously they got Laquon Treadwell and some other guys through pre-NIL, which is what I call it. Now we have NIL, so you can just do that stuff now. All right? So pre-NIL, you got the Laquon Treadwells, you got the Laramie Tunsils, and you got all those dogs in. I mean, they had freaks running around there, Chad Kelly, guys like that. But Hugh is an offensive mastermind. He really is. Okay? He really is. He knows how to recruit in the South. Why does he know how to recruit in the South? Well, he is from here, and that helps. But just because you're not from a place, and I don't want people to think just because Brian Harsin didn't work out at Auburn means that you can't go from up north to down south and have success. I mean, hell, Saban played at West Virginia, wasn't Michigan State, and came down here and became the greatest coach of all time. So that's not it. But he knows the lay of the land. He has relationships with the high school coaches. He knows where to go. He knows where you can go to get guys, where you can go where you're not going to get guys. It's just how it works. So Hugh Freeze, to me, is one of the top two options. It's a great redemption story, right? Rejoice. Urban Meyer. Hear me out on this. And some people say, Urban Meyer? Urban Meyer will never take the Auburn job, Jake. I'm not saying there's a great probability he would, but I think he'd listen under a couple stipulations. Has Auburn hit rock bottom enough to give somebody full control like we talked about? Bama did it. Georgia did it. A&M did it. At some point, you got to do it, right? Maybe this is it. But the thing that worries me about that is, turns out the Boosters were right about Brian Harsin. So it's not like they were proven wrong, and now they're like, all right, here, take the keys. But if they gave full control to Urban Meyer, I think he'd listen. Because these guys are ego-driven. You have to be. You cannot survive. Sam Pittman, coolest guy ever. Best believe Sam Pittman's got a big ego, okay? You may not see it a lot. It may just be deep down. It may be just subconscious, whatever. But you have to have a big ego to be able to have success especially nowadays in this sport at this high of a level. Urban Meyer is watching. His last coaching stint, Jaguars, fell apart, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't go good, got fired. A little bit different than Saban's exit, but Saban went to the NFL, was just mid.
But he doesn't want it to be his last hoorah.
But he doesn't want it to be his last hoorah. What, he goes back, now he's on the set back at Fox. Who's he been hearing about for about 3-4 years now? Nick Saban, Kirby Smart.
Ryan Day,
mm-hmm. Jim Harbaugh, getting Michigan back. Jimbo Fisher, can he get A&M back? Who are you not talking about? Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. Let's see what's available. Let's look at the lay of the land. USC, that ain't opening anytime
soon. Notre Dame,
that ain't opening anytime soon, regardless of how bad it goes this year for Marcus. Ohio State, Ryan Day's not leaving. Alabama, Saban's there. Urban ain't following Saban anyway. That'd be stupid. LSU, that's not there. Florida, they're not taking you back. So a lot of the big name brands, all right, the big name brands is just not available right now. So what's the closest you can get to have the best opportunity to dethrone Saban and derail Kirby? Auburn. Mm-hmm. Who are Auburn's two biggest rivals?
Both Alabama and
Georgia. Who will they play every year? Alabama and Georgia. Can you imagine in the state of Alabama having Nick Saban and Urban Meyer at the same time?
I think he
would listen. I don't know if he'd take it, but the biggest hurdle to get over is Auburn giving him full control. That's the difference.
Let me ask you this, because both of you guys coached. You had to go in living rooms and recruit guys.
Yep.
I got recruited. I had coaches come in my living room. If Urban Meyer or Hugh Freeze were to be hired at Auburn, and you're up in the you're against Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and Josh Heupel on the recruiting trail, and those guys don't have those checkered pasts, is it going to hurt one of those guys in recruiting when you have to go in and convince a mom to let their son come and play for you against guys who don't have that checkered
pass? Can I be
a thing of the past?
Can I be Urban Meyer or Hugh Freeze walking into the room and blame? And
yeah, you'd be mama.
I almost said it. I almost got to the end, but I didn't.
No, you said it.
No, I said Blay and I stopped.
No, you said
I said Blay and I stopped.
He said Blade.
I said Blay and I stopped. Blade. I said
Blay
and I
guys.
No, it did. No, it
barely
did.
Made
hold
it
on,
out.
The
no, it did. No, it did.
Give me paid, FanDuel. I mean, DraftKings.
Oh, slip of the tongue. You're promoting.
Either one, give me paid.
I said Blay. Go back and read the tape. I didn't say the last letter to complete the name. Under is still there. No, I didn't. Me and Cone judged that, not you. So sorry.
You'd be mama.
You can't judge yourself.
You can't judge your own name, Blaine. You're right.
No. Here's what I would do if I was Urban Meyer or Hugh Freeze and I came back. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey. Flaming Dragon.
Get out of my house.
Tight end.
Get out of my house, you weirdo.
Recruit me. That's my mom.
Yeah. Sorry. Like those shoes. Listen. Your son needs to know something. Number one, how much is it going to take? No, just kidding. I would go in there and be like, look, I made a mistake. All right? I made a bad mistake. But I learned from that mistake. Because mistakes get made in life. All right? And when I have your
son. You're already laughing at mama.
Well, I'm laughing at you laughing at me.
This is going terrible. This would never work.
I like how he said, I made a mistake.
He leaves and Nick Saban walks in. He's like, Urban was laughing the whole time, wasn't he?
And Nick Saban walks in.
Yeah.
No, I would just say, look, it's a redemption thing. Everybody makes mistakes. Your son will start at wide receiver.
Your son will start at wide out. Oh, man. Well,
no, they'd be fine. They'd be, in all actuality, they'd be like, look, Urban Meyer's made mistakes before and came back, been able to recruit.
That's the point that I
was. You know, if you can recruit, you can recruit. I'm literally crying over here. But it's all right, Blaine, what was it?
There you go again. Was that four? I don't here.
Sometimes the over gets
that
passed,
time I said
man.
It.
It's a Friday.
That time I said,
you know.
That time I said it.
It's a disaster.
It only happens when I go to the booster club. I'm just going to look at you. Hey, what's the booster club saying? What's the other donation?
All right, let's go to Eric Sharber.
I thought we had another donation.
Can I read it?
I'll just
go ahead. Go ahead. Because I want to get to keep the victory.
All right, it's a $10 donation from Eric Sharber. Hashtag Ask Cranny Company. Oh, We're rich. It smells like poor people around. What does a group of five school have to do to enter the college football playoff when it expands to 12 teams? And will they, the group of five, push for a 16 team if they are successful after the first expansion? Eric says thank you, and I say thank you. It's Elric.
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 Elric. Elric of skip Valendor.
Skip into the Shire.
Thank you, Elric. Right.
Thank you, Elric. We've already seen a group of five team make the playoff with Cincinnati. Now, I know that's a high level group of five, I guess you could say, that's moving to Power Five. If they don't split it up, which I think they should, if they don't split it up and say, all right, we have a group of five national championship, and then we have a Power Five national championship, and you say, all right, in the 12, because it's funny, when we've had two different coaches in here, both group of five coaches. One, Brian Vincent at UAB, said, I want our own national championship. Then we get Clay Helton from Georgia Southern on here. He says, no, we want to be able to play in the one with everybody else. So you've got mixed opinion from coaches on there. We've seen that, you know, kind of fruition on the show. You are going to get a group of five team in there. The way that I feel like that this would be easier, and we've seen the rules, you know, Power Five conference champion, you know, automatic bid. Other ones are the top five ranked conferences. Whoever wins those automatic bid. Why don't we still split up the top 25? You see what I'm saying? Group of five, top 25, Power Five, top 25, and say, all right, the team that finishes number one at the end of the year, and it could be a top, you could do top 15 for a group of five, doesn't matter. The team that finishes number one in that group of five, top 25 or top 15, automatically gets a spot in that 12-team playoff. Because the odds of a group of five conference being that fifth conference, you know, rankings-wise, that gets that automatic guy in there, while it will probably happen maybe a couple times, it's not going to be the norm. And I'm all for meritocracy, okay? Like, I'm all for it. Should be earned on the field. But I like splitting up the top 25s. I think it's a good idea.
All right, let's go to Colleen. Says, I think we're at four. Jake O's Flaming Dragon, four Frappuccinos for that.
Well, Blaine, you like, what do you like, Blaine? That the poodle noodle crispy caramel Frappuccino Frosty?
So that's five. He's calling me.
No, at this point, like I'm embracing it.
Salted caramel Frappuccino?
Salted caramel frappuccino.
Fire.
Yeah.
How do you say it?
What about pumpkin?
Hey, can I get a salted caramel frappuccino, please?
That's exactly how I say it right there.
There you go.
Then I just drive off.
That makes it worse.
Yeah. All right, Mike and M says, that was a great idea. A Crane weekly segment. Crane versus Crane on the recruiting couch.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Wow. Come in and sit down, and you got to pitch the recruit as a coach.
And I'm just sitting here like this.
You got to pitch the recruit as more. A coach. That's good. I like that. All right, let's get to keys to victory.
Keys to victory.
Let's do it. There's a lot of them.
Start. Arkansas, Texas A&M.
Let's do it.
Go ahead.
All right, in Arlington, and we're not playing baseball for the Rangers. A&M, here's the key to victory. Explosive pass plays, I said in the beginning. You have Arkansas secondary is struggling bad right now, and they're beat up. And Arkansas secondary has kind of been the weak spot of that defense for a while now. Here's where the explosive plays are. You're looking for them. You want a Nancy Drew this thing with a magnifying glass? Oh, I found them. Where's Waldo? It's in the secondary. You have got to find a way to hit plays down the field. If you can't hit explosive plays through the air against this Arkansas secondary the way it is right now, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. But you've got a whole hell of a lot better chance with Max Johnson doing it than Haynes King closing his eyes and overthrowing everybody in the stadium. So you have to find a way to get explosive pass plays. We know A-Chain can run. We know you've got guys, Anais Williams, guy that can do a little bit of everything. You have got to find a way to have that, because the more that vertical threat hits, the more that run game's going to start popping. And the more that run game starts popping, the more that play action game, it starts popping. It's a domino effect. One thing leads to another. Guys that know what they're doing don't call plays for that play. They call plays to set up the play three plays down the road. That's what the witches do. Follow the bouncing balls. That did make sense, Wayne. For Arkansas, you've got to find a way to get Trey Knox the ball at tight end. Rocket Sanders, dog. KJ Jefferson, dog. Jaden Hazelwood has proven that he can be a deep threat vertically on the outside. Does pretty good on the jet sweep, even though I wish he ran lower with better leverage. But you targeted Trey Knox six times against Cincinnati. Had 70-something yards and a touchdown. You targeted him once against South Carolina. Now, you won that game, but you only targeted him once. You targeted him three times versus Missouri State. This game is going to come down to who can score touchdowns in the red zone. And in the red zone, that's where that tight end matchup and that linebacker on the inside is massive. Arkansas has got to find a way when they get into the red zone and even outside of the red zone to get Trey Knox the ball, because Cone, he's got unbelievably strong hands. He's a basketball target, big guy, and he can run.
Yeah.
He can legitimately run.
Use him in spacing. That'll help you do what? Stay out of third and
keep
long.
Keep you ahead of the chains.
Keep KJ out of third and long, which I know is a great, you know, key to victory for every single football team who's ever played the game. But KJ Jefferson cannot run the ball every single time. And on third and nine, you're only going to get so many first downs. I think if they space the field, that'll help.
Without a doubt.
Keys to the street. One, who wins the turnover battle? I think that's going to be a huge one. KJ Jefferson has to use his legs. I mean, that's this Arkansas offense. You got to use them. What does Rocket Sanders do? Can they win between the tackles? And you can go back to what you said, A&M, you got to have explosive plays against the secondary. It's a weak secondary. I mean, Max is not going to be able to go for 10 for 20 for 140 yards, and you feel like you're going to win this game. Get your playmakers involved. I mean, A-Chain, Anaya Smith, these guys that you have. Try to push the ball a little bit, and I'm just interested to see who wins the line of scrimmage in this game.
Yeah, it's going to be a heck of a game. I think there's going to be a lot more points scored in this game than what people think. If you want to watch the rest of these keys to victory, I promise you, we got four more games and then rapid fire. Then we're going to get into the mailbag in our bag. Head over to the Daily Wire Plus, become a member, listen on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe and leave a 5-star review and share it with your friends. Our flaming dragon will burn your house down. We'll be right back. Everybody, don't move. Now move and go hit the like button and subscribe to Crane & Company on YouTube. We're back to college football keys to victory. Cone, what's the next matchup?
Clemson at Wake Forest.
Woo! ACC showdown, Mr. West. Clemson, you got to take away their belief early. You thought I was going to say get DJU out of the game. That's another key to victory. I just don't believe in this guy. I believe in him about as much as I believe in the Snuffleupagus. So Clemson's got to take away Wake's belief early. The longer you let Wake hang around in this game, because Clemson, you're way better than they are up front. And you let Sam Hartman, who we all know is the Tommy Shelby of college football, so glad he's back and playing and got through, you know, whatever it was he got through. You have to step on their throats early because you have got to get Wake and just, you got to make them one-dimensional because they're going to sit there and run that slow mesh RPO and try and feel you out. But with Clemson's freaks they got in the front seven, I don't know exactly how that's going to work, and I'm going to get to that with Wake in a second. But if you're Clemson, take away the hope early. Take away the hope from the fans, the coaches, and the players. Because you get up on them and you're beating them up and Wake's having to sit here and find ways down the field to beat you consistently with no run game to keep balance, that is not a good formula against the aliens that Clemson has running around on defense. Now to Wake Forest. You have to have an escape plan if the slow mesh RPO isn't working. If you don't know what I'm talking about with the slow mesh RPO, watch the way anybody else runs a zone read or RPO, watch the tempo of it, and then watch Wake Forest. It is like watching a NASCAR race and then like one of those little derby races they do in the neighborhood where you make the little car yourself. Big difference in speed, but it works. It's kind of their thing, right? It's like their 89-mile-per-hour two-seam fastball with crazy movement. You got a nice little changeup to back it up with a little bit of a slide piece. Maybe it's 85, but it's sliding.
Hey, 85.
85.
Nothing to sneeze.
Stay alive. Great year. So you have to have a way, whether it's through modified runs that we talk about, right? We talked about the Browns throwing on first down, even in spacings and hitches and slants, to find a way to get into second and five that isn't just your base stuff. You're also not going to be able to line up and run inside zone. I know you return your offensive line, but Clemson returns their defensive line, and they've even added guys. So it's not exactly lollipops and rainbows up front for Wake Forest in this game. So I don't think you're going to be able to line up and run inside zone right at Clemson. So what escape plan do you have if the slow mesh RPO isn't working? Mm-hmm. We go back to being unpredictable on first downs and staying ahead of the chains. That's what this game's going to come down to. Because if Wake finds himself in third and seven, third and eight, and third and nine, that's when the turnover is going to happen because Sam's going to have to try and force it. Once Sam realizes that we can't run the ball and I'm going to have to try and make incredible throws the whole game, Sam's good enough to make 75% of them, but that 25%, that pick six can cost you the game. That turnover in the red zone that you shouldn't have had, ask Cam Rising, can cost you the game. So it's little things like that.
I'm right there with you. For Clemson, for me, get to Sam Hartman for four quarters. He's not one of those quarterbacks you can just bang up in the first half, then, you know, Wake Forest is going to fold and you're going to win the game by three touchdowns or something like that. Sam Hartman Hartman's going to battle you for four quarters, and he can beat you in the last minute. For Wake Forest to keep Clemson, and Clemson, you know where you're better than Wake Forest,
yeah,
right? It's that defensive line, your front seven. For Wake Forest to keep them from getting to Sam Hartman for four quarters, get the ball out of your hand quickly, like you're talking about. I'm very interested to see how creative Wake Forest can be in the screen game against
yes.
Clemson. I bet they have over two dozen screen designs called for
the kick. They're smart enough to do it.
Yeah, like I'm not telling, you know, Wake Forest offensive coaching staff anything new by, you know, you need to screen Clemson with how good that front four is. I just want to see how creative they're going to be with it. Are they going to get tunnel screens involved? When are they going to call these plays?
That's
the thing, because Clemson knows they're going to get screened to death in this game.
Yeah.
How creative can you be to mask it?
Well, Blaine, we always see screens on, what, third and 15 and third and long. When you know they're coming, or first and 10, you get the bubble. It's the screens on second and three.
Yes.
And like times where it's just unpredictable.
It's a different way to really take a shot on second.
That's sure. exactly right. I like the way you put that.
Well, my keys are this. For Clemson, you got to put in Cade Klubnik.
I'm sick with
of
talking you on that.
About it. Yeah. I'm sick of talking about it. Put him in. I don't care.
Let Booby spin.
He's better. All right, he's better.
Like from the start of the game at Wake Forest, first start?
Yeah, yeah. Put him in the game. He's a better quarterback. He's going to be able to take you farther than DJ can take you. Clemson's defense, we get to Sam Hartman. I mean, and the thing about Wake Forest right now, as one of my keys for them, I mean, you're not running the ball well at all. You average 0.8 yards a carry versus Liberty. All right, if you think you're to come in, that mesh is going to work against Clemson with you not being able to run the ball. They're just going to sit on pass. They're going to put four guys coming after you. And they're going to get you. They're going to touch Sam Hartman up through those four quarters. You got to be able to run the ball if they're going to believe in the mesh zone. I mean, if not, they're just going to sit on pass.
How would you say, all right, run the ball against Clemson?
Well, pitch backwards somewhat, right? Take shots early in the first and second down. Take deep shots. Mix it up through the game. But you have to be able to run the ball in this game. If you go into this game one-dimensional, you're going to lose.
Oh, I agree.
Against this Clemson defense, you are going to lose. Take shots early. Maybe back them up a little bit. Get them somewhat worried that we'll take those shots. So you have to be wary of it. Try to get three or four, you know, just to live in that range, and I think you'll be okay. I believe in Sam Hartman as a quarterback. I'm glad he's back. I'm somewhat worried about this offensive line against Clemson. But if they play DJU, this is the chance you have.
Yeah, you get it.
If they play DJU these four quarters, you have a legitimate chance to win this game. It's going to come down to play calling, winning the turnover battle, and tackling well. You tackle well, make DJ beat you through the air. Don't let Will Shipley beat you on the ground. Make him throw to beat you. Take shots, get creative, trick plays, pitch backwards. You can't be scared to win this game. You can't be scared to take chances, because if you don't take chances against this Clemson defense, you will lose.
Wake Forest is very opportunistic when it comes to turnovers. And in games like this where you're outmanned, I'll give you a great example. Last night, Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Guy fumbles a punt. You're down six in the third quarter. Guy fumbles a punt. And Lawson, one of the guys on the punt team, Virginia Tech, the ball bounces right to him. He catches it, lands on it. He drops it, goes out of bounds. West Virginia gets the ball. Should have been a turnover in the red zone with an offense that was struggling, because Virginia Tech's offensive line couldn't block a predator on a social media app right now. It's absolutely
by my style.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Go ahead.
So you blew that opportunity. Then as West Virginia's driving, fourth down play, penalty, roughing the passer. Two third down plays, hands to the face, pass interference. You can't make those mistakes when you aren't good enough.
Okay, yeah.
And you have to take advantage of every opportunity that you get. The margin for error for you is so small. That's why I was watching Brent Pry write in his little notebook last night. You know what I'd have been writing?
Oh, yeah.
We don't take advantage of opportunities. Oh, and also, we're terrible.
That was funny.
Watching Grant Rails try and go through a progression last night hurt me. He was trying to throw the ball to double-team crossers when the back was running the spot wide open out of the backfield. He looked scared. Grant Wells last night, he overthrew two guys that were so wide open. It was a Dixie Chicks song. I mean, wide open spaces. I mean, it's the first guy, the DB fell down, and Grant throws it out of bounds. But he did finally get to live his dream of throwing a touchdown for the West Virginia Mountaineers.
I don't think they're the Dixie Chicks anymore. I think they're just the Chicks or something.
I thought you were about to go somewhere else with that.
Yeah,
they're just the chicks.
Yeah, they got rid of Dixie because that's problematic.
Yeah, they're still.
They're still. Why don't you go sit in the corner and think about that?
Yeah.
One of my concerns for Wake Forest taking shots early against Clemson is this. I know it makes sense, Blaine, what you're saying, but if you don't connect on those shots early in downs, two things happen. One, you find yourself in second and long or third and long.
Death.
And two, the clock is going to stop if you don't connect, which makes the game longer. right? And like you always say, you know, time plus talent. I mean, we're under the assumption right now that Clemson does have better talent than Wake Forest.
So yeah, I think that's a safe assumption.
If you extend the game, they have more time to be able to win late. But I do understand what you're saying. You can't just run the ball into that front four on first and 10 and get stopped. Now you're in second.
Well, how do you hurt a good defense somewhat? Tempo, well, that's right pace, tire them out.
Exactly what you're talking about, but be unpredictable, like what Jake was saying. Pace sometimes, but then slow it down when you need to. Like what I was saying, creative ways for the screen.
Well, a lot of it's stuff with tempo, too, is you got to read how it's going on defense. Mm-hmm. Like if the defense is out there getting murdered and they just gave up an 11-play drive or they're just getting it hawked right at them down the field and you come out and want to go tempo for the – that's what worried me about Josh Heupel in Tennessee a little bit before they had depth on defense. And you've seen Josh kind of – start to kick it back sometimes when he sees that defense is out in the field. It's that SEC kind of mantra of it slows you down, not speeds you up, even though the game gets faster.
The best quick tempo to me are the teams that can go quick tempo but don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can go normal speed and still be as
the best
effective.
Is you can go all tempos.
Yes.
Right? Like the real ones can really puppet, have the strings. You want to go fast, we'll go fast. You want to slow it down, we'll slow it down. If you can do that, if you can control, because half of offense is rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
You
for
know,
sure.
Especially for quarterback and the receivers, like it's chemistry, it's rhythm. If you can control that rhythm as a coordinator, you can hit all the points of your offense that you're trying to reach into. And if you can do that, if you can control that pace, control the guys on your squad and how fast and how slow they go, you're gonna be a danger.
You know what I think how up-tempo started? And I think we'll see an up-tempo team in the NFL within the next 5 years. Uh-huh. I think we'll see it. I think somebody was at practice one day, and they were like, all right, here we go, two-minute drill.
I knew you were going to say the two-minute drill.
And like for the first 5 weeks of the season in practice, and then, you know, a couple times in the game, they get in the two-minute drill.
That's how it started.
And it looks great. And so they're sending a staff meeting, and they're like, all right, guys, you know, parting thoughts before we leave, you know, like Rick's in the background. He's like the passing game coordinator. He's like, guys, listen, you know, I'm been doing this for 15 years. He's like, you know, I got a lot of ideas. But I just want to throw one out there and just see what everybody thinks. If you hate it, let's throw it away. If you love it, let's dive in. You know how we do two-minute drill and go fast all the time and it seems like the defense gets tired? What if we just did two-minute drill the whole game? And they're like, Rick, that's crazy, but it...
But we're terrible.
Just might so be should, crazy
you
enough
should send
to
it's work. Either that. Urban Meyer should send that coach. Yeah. To
it's either that or just like the coach thought they were just like not hustling.
They know, hurry up!
Yeah, it's like, oh, you aren't gonna hustle, huh?
Well, we're just gonna
get alive! Just over and over and over again. And it started working, so I wouldn't be surprised if Lou Holtz came up with it.
Probably came up with it at Notre Dame.
Florida at Tennessee.
This one's pretty simple. Tennessee, you gotta make Anthony Richardson beat you with his arm.
Thank you.
Well, that's what you gotta do.
That's what I have.
You gotta make him beat you with his arm. But so far to this point, Billy won't even attempt to let him beat you with his legs, so hell, you may as well just run base
like,
up.
Yeah, like how many carries does he need?
Enough to win the game.
But what's a good number for you? Because he's had the same amount of carries. He's had the same amount of carries as the running backs in every game.
I would say, but you some of those are scrambles. These aren't quarterback designed runs. Okay, he
how
tucks
carries,
the ball down and carries. True carries, true cue power. Power read, stuff like, even though the read is obviously a read. I would say true carries, 15. Mm. At least 15. You'll get 5 to 6 scrambles. You're looking around. He needs to run the ball about 20 times.
Do you not need to protect him? He's your backup.
Okay, here's my thing on protecting him. What do you think? The backup's going to come in there and throw it worse?
I mean, but he's not going to run it as well.
Well, you're not running it anyway.
I mean, he's carrying it 10 times a game.
10? That's not enough. How many times Cam Newton carry the game?
Can we stop? Can we stop like, using this man and Cam
I'm
Newton
talking
in the same
about,
sentence
he's
before
the team.
I
he does have
lose
a similar skill set.
Like what?
Nobody is saying that he is Cam Newton, but you got to build a bridge and get over this.
Skill
what
set,
I'm saying
like,
is...
He don't run like him.
He runs better than Cam. He's faster than Cam. He's faster than Cam.
Faster maybe, but that man does not run better than Cam Newton. Even close.
What I mean by run better is he's faster. The term in coaching is this guy runs better means he's faster.
No, the term faster means he's faster. Running better means that's vision and speed
true.
And physicality.
That's not true.
That man is not Cam Newton.
Well, guess what?
At all.
He's the best weapon you got, and the best weapon he has is running it with your legs.
Okay,
you can't throw for 200 yards, and you're trying to throw it every single time. You got lucky you beat Utah because they turned it over in the end. You didn't exactly blow it out of the water
well,
over there. You
got to
play
run.
Your strengths.
Well,
you know you got him for 1 year. Even That's though, the difference in covering your own self and getting your ass fired by making stupid decisions.
Well, everyone knows he's going to run.
It's stupid.
Everybody knows he's going to run.
Stupid.
And yet,
that's what
they're
Kentucky
one of
did.
Only three teams in the country without a passing touchdown.
That's exactly right.
You know?
Because everyone, he's not running enough. They don't have a passing touchdown.
Like exactly,
every team, Kentucky sat there in the box, put a spy on him, and said, throw it. Throw it. And what can he not do? He couldn't throw
And that's what Tennessee's going to need.
So you damn right that's what you're going to do.
What's my key to
that's
victory?
What, yeah,
that's
mean,
what just came out of my mouth. That's literally what I just said. Make AR beat you as a passer. That's what you have to do. You can put a spy on him. You can put James Bond on him. Hell, you can put Edward Snowden on him. He's still going to be able to run the ball, but it's not about, all right, I'm looking for a pass and I'm going to scramble. It's lining up and using that extra hat in the box. They do not run quarterback design run games. We had Tom Luganville on here yesterday who said the exact same thing. You get an extra hat to block. You're truly playing 11 on 11. And maybe if you start running some more quarterback design runs, and maybe if he keeps the ball on zone read every now and then, you'll start to create space in the passing game that you're not getting because they don't have a ton of receivers that can really go out there and get it. They have a couple that are committed, but you have to play to your strengths, and Billy's not doing it. You got the running back from Lafayette that's a good back, but he's not a burner. Anthony Richardson is your only chance to be able to put up enough points to go beat a Tennessee. You can't beat Tennessee scoring 17 points.
Well, first of all, I don't know what you're disagreeing with. Like, what are you disagreeing
you're
with?
You're saying that he's running the ball, enough,
you
but you're not
carries,
understanding
said,
what
many
I'm
carries?
Saying.
You said 15. I, was
I
like,
said
okay.
quarterback
well, he's
designed
realistically
runs.
Getting 10 carries a game. Every team he plays against just sells out on the run. All right, so you can keep running it with him. That's fine, but sooner or later, you're going to have to be like, Anthony, you got to throw the ball. If not, then play running back.
But looking back at the Utah game is even more interesting
they didn't,
now because
they didn't,
Florida
they
was
didn't
able to be
him.
Effective in the run game without him pulling those powers, without pulling those zone reads, I mean.
They you didn't know, account for him. Utah did not account for him at all.
Utah
that's why
loaded
I go,
the box.
That's why I go back. They didn't even account for him on zone reads. He was taking off by himself. Why do you think he had all those yards? You go back, they didn't spy him. Didn't spy him for most of the game. But you see as the season goes on, defenses knows. And I said this about Anthony Richardson after the Utah game when everyone was like, Heisman this, Heisman that, Cam this, Cam that. The guy can't throw the ball. He can't go through a progression. It hasn't been improved
he
since last
throw
year.
The ball.
Well, he can throw it 80 yards. Congrats, yeah. Jamarcus Russell could too.
I get what you're
like,
saying.
But sooner or later, you either play running back or you play quarterback, all right? And if you can't go through progressions and you can't throw your team to a win, they're going to sit there, load the box, put a spy on you, and you're not going to do anything. So it has to be one or the other. I get when you said he needs carries. Yeah, that's fine. Well, I'm saying he's getting 10-plus carries almost a game. I don't know if they're all quarterback design runs. Probably not.
They're
some
not.
Are scramble, too. But if you want to just line up and run with them 15 to 20 times, sure, but you're not going to score more than 17 points. You're going to be in the same realm. It's 2022. You're a quarterback in the SEC. If you can't throw the ball, you're not going to win a lot of games. He has zero touchdown passes and has a 50% completion rate. You're not going to win games.
So you got to find a way to be able to throw the ball better. How do you do that? By making them even more dangerous to run game, which brings me to my key to victory for Florida. Quarterback run game so you can control the clock. Because you can't get behind Tennessee. You're not good enough. You're not balanced enough to be able to score in a shootout enough to beat these guys. You've got to sit on the ball. K-State and Florida needs to have a very similar mindset going into these games. Because Oklahoma, while they don't go as fast as Tennessee, they do want to go fast. And at the end of the day, you have got to be able to control the ball. You've got to get in or control the clock. You've got to get in third and twos. Anthony Richards got to be a guy. Him, the backs, short passes to be able to convert it. You cannot let Tennessee not only get too many opportunities because that keeps their defense off the field. You keep their defense on the field and make them still have to go fast pace and hope that you can get the defense to have to be out there for 100 snaps, something like that. To me, that's the only shot outside of Tennessee just absolutely forgetting and turning the ball over. But you have to find ways in the quarterback designed run game, not just pull it down and scramble, not just zone read, to be able to play 11 on 11 football because that's your only shot and that'll open up the pass game. And somebody's got to win a one-on-one too.
Sure, yeah.
You know, somebody's got to win a one-on-one.
Sure. Do you want to do some rapid fire here?
Let's do some rapid fire.
Okay, here we go. Hold on 1 second. There we go. All right, let's get to this story here. Ime Udoka, the Boston Celtics head coach, has been suspended for the entire 2022 and 2023 NBA season for an intimate relationship with a female staff member.
Yeah, consensual relationship. You know, since there's not enough information out there for me to really sit here and be like, all right, this and that. I don't know what the HR policy is for the Celtics organization. Obviously, they don't want you doing that. Mm-hmm. Which there's a lot of companies that say that or say you need to disclose this. Well, Udoka's engaged to Nia Long. She played the lead female role in Big Mama's House, which is a great movie.
Boys in Martin the Hood. Lawrence.
Boys in the Hood, she's in that as well. Ime was having an affair with this lady with this female on staff. Now, I don't know how really affairs work because I'm not down for one. You know, Reed's enough for me to handle. But if I'm having an affair, I'm probably not going to disclose the affair to the people at HR. That's probably not where I'm with it. No, I don't think that's how it works. What I think happened was, and for this to leak out like this, what I think happened is Nia Long probably found out. Nia Long was probably going to expose it, so the Celtics got ahead of it. That's what it looks like to me. Because if you look at that release, they talk about it being consensual to get any notion of harassment or, you know, anything like that out of the window. Do I have a problem with people that work together being in a relationship? No, I don't. It's not my company. It's not my organization. I do have a problem when you cheat on somebody that you've been engaged to for like 8 years. I have a problem with that. I don't think they should have suspended him for a whole year. I think that's too harsh. Now, if it was, and who suspends somebody for an inappropriate relationship at work? Don't you either get fired for that or they say, all right, whatever, you know, where you disclosed it now, we know now. So there's not enough information really for me out there. I think a year, in my opinion, is too long. I think it's too much. You've kind of got the team in limbo a little bit to me. But again, I don't know the HR policy for the Celtics. It's just it's a bad look. It's a bad look for Ime, but you know, it just is what it is.
Yeah. Look, I met my wife at work. That was the greatest decision that ever happened, but we were single. We weren't in a relationship, and every company's different, and I wasn't necessarily the head coach of the Boston Celtics.
You weren't?
I felt, you know, I had that confidence.
You sure?
I had that level of confidence.
Boy.
You know, so I'm sure we'll find out what the HR policy was or, you know, more details as we go. Blaine, you got any thoughts on that?
Celtics and six. Celtics and six.
Why? Because he was the coaching problem?
No.
No, other reasons?
Other reasons. I'd say other reasons.
Okay, other reasons.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Lane Kiffin. This is an interesting story. Lane Kiffin says he let up last weekend in the game in terms of scoring on offense because he knew that Georgia Tech head coach Jeff Collins, our friend, was on the hot seat. What do you think about this?
I don't. Why would you come out and admit to that? Like, to me,
this is a shot
at Jeff Collins. Yeah, this is the worst. So, hey, you know what? I'll stop beating you up in front of your family because I don't want your wife to leave you because I know you guys are on shaky ground. This is worse than beat me by 80.
Yeah.
Beat me by 80. Just don't say this. Now you're just this is a backhanded shot to me. I don't know if him and Jeff are beefing or whatever. I don't care. Lane just does some off-the-wall stuff, man. But this to me, like, this is borderline. I'm going to call you on the phone. Like, why would you admit? Why would you even say this? Be like, you know, we wanted to get some young guys some experience and, you know, we didn't want to show our opponent up. We wanted to show class. Not that, hey, yeah, I think Jeff's getting fired and, you know, I think we play Georgia Tech again, so I want that automatic win.
It's not a good look. If you told me one coach in the country said this after a game, I would have said, was it Lane Kiffin?
That's exactly
was it Lane Kiffin?
Lane is legitimately just...
He's a menace.
He's built different.
He's a menace.
He's built... I had a buddy who was a GA when he was at Bama. He said, Lane, like meeting rooms. Like they go to a meeting, Saban be in there, everybody in there. Lane would come in like 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late. And like when Saban was in like his most serious tone of voice, Lane would just be in his chair spinning around, chewing on gum. And I was like, that's the most Lane Kiffin thing I've ever seen. I mean, Lane, you're basically like, yeah, sorry, I took it easy on him. He's about to get fired.
Yeah, that's wild.
Hadn't worked out for Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech. But they've had the toughest schedule in the country year after year. But I'm not, you know, at some point.
You got to win at some point.
At some point,
Jeff
you got to win. I agree
Boring.
With that. LSU was placed on probation for recruiting violations. What are the details here?
Just slap on the wrist. They, you know, got fined. The offensive line coach, I believe, is the one who did it. Mm-hmm. They're on a show cause with that coach and 1 year of probation. It isn't the probation like the old school probation. You can't go to a bowl. Probation, you used to hear the word probation. It was devastating.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, please, oh, the NCAA sent us a letter. Don't let it be probation. Take the scholarships, but not probation. This is slap on the wrist. They got away with it. They're just waiting to just hammer Will Wade even more.
The basketball coach. The fan who caught Aaron Judge's 60th home run when he tied Babe Ruth gave Aaron Judge the ball for free. Now he and his friends got some signed bats and balls and stuff. But would you guys give that ball back for free?
No.
That's like
the person.
You catch Aaron Jones' 60th home run ball. What are y'all
doing?
You
know what's like to me? It's like Russell Crowe in American Gangster when he finds all that money in the back of the car and that's like gang money. It's like $100,000 and he takes it to the police. It's like, here, I found this money.
No one does that.
Nobody does. Yeah.
Some people do that.
No, they don't.
Some people do that.
No, you wouldn't.
That's a lie. Justine, that's a lie. You would not do it. No, yeah, but guess what? You're now a rich nice person.
You just find 100 G's in the back of a car.
I'm not giving that up.
I'm giving that to one
Aaron
person.
Judge, listen,
one person
Aaron Judge,
only.
Here's what I say.
Do another conversation.
Here's
I'm
what
Aaron
I say.
Judge now.
Be like,
I'm
Aaron.
Reptar.
Oh,
Aaron.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Aaron.
I'm getting this too.
I'm like, Aaron, guess what? I got the home run ball. Okay, I know it means a lot to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I want to give it to you.
Yeah.
But you seen the economy, dog? You seen the stock market? You been to a gas station?
Inflation?
You tried to buy eggs? I'm looking at your, what do you make? How much are you making? All of it. Oh, you may be the richest person in New York. Mm-hmm. Here's what I want. I will give you this ball back for $1 million without any signed memorabilia. I'll give it back to you for $750,000 with a signed jersey and the signed bat that you hit it with.
So you're getting really contractual. So you want the bat?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm double dipping.
Look,
okay.
You want the ball? I want $750,000.
So you're trying to come up. You're trying to come up $750,000.
Then guess what?
And get the bat.
And then guess what? And then guess what? A week later, I go back to him and I try and sell him the bat for $250,000.
Now that's a come up.
I'm a businessman. I'm a businessman.
I want $500K. It starts with this. I want $500K for the ball. I want season tickets. All right, six of them.
Forever.
Six of them for the rest of my life. Rest of my life, and I also want a bat fifth.
You want a bat fifth in the lineup?
I want a bat fifth for at least 3 years. All right, 3 years after that, that's fine. Then I'm going to use my season tickets. All right, but I want $500K. What's your new contract looking like? All right, what's the guarantee?
Oh, it's a lot.
So I'll probably
you picked a great year to break
I'll probably change my price if this drags out too long to where your new contract's on.
Interest?
The price goes up.
Right. Man,
the price goes up.
I can't imagine if that's what y'all want for the 60th ball that ties Ruth. I can't imagine what y'all want for 62.
I'm going to the hotel where everything's safe, where John Wick was. Like I'm walking around with the ball in a steel briefcase, handcuffed to my wrist.
I want you to put out a message to the people who brought you to Earth. I want to meet them. All right, I'm going to come. I want to go to their planet. I want to see what Element 14 looks like.
Element 115. Right?
115. Excuse me. Element I want to see what that looks like. What's your currency? You know, how do you fly so fast and make no noise?
You want a spaceship?
How do you? Yeah, I want a spaceship. All right? That's what I want. One of those cool suits y'all wore down here.
And one of those cool suits.
$500,000.
All right, hey, let's get through this.
Last one. There was a Utah fan who threatened to detonate a nuclear reactor if the football team loses to San Diego State.
Now look, I'm not a scientist, and I don't know how big of a blast it would be, but when I hear the words blow up a nuclear reactor, to me, I just see the world explode. Like, I don't know if that's like a Utah thing. Let's just put it this way. Glad they won. And send her away. Send her to Azkaban, wherever you need to send. Get her away. Like, anytime it comes, she's more dangerous than Vladimir Putin with the launch codes right now. I'm all for this. I love football. It means a lot to me. And as you see, it just means more. But that, now you're playing with the atmosphere and the universe. And don't think the aliens didn't hear it.
I don't think
they're probably hovering right over there, just waiting to zap her.
I don't think there will be any bigoted Mormon chants against Utah on the road.
No,
with this fan.
No, Or there will be no more road.
There'll be no more. There'll be no more stands.
Yeah, there'll be no more Utah. Is what it'll be.
You see.
Yeah.
Hold on.
They say that's how the Grand Canyon.
Morgan
started.
Freeman. Hold on. Get out my ear for a second. You see what it's like to be an SEC fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know how many nuclear facilities I've tried to break into in my life? A good bit. A good bit.
Where's the closest one?
Tuskegee. I can't tell you.
You
ever been to Huntsville?
I have. The Rocket Center.
All right, let's go to the next one.
Oh,
is that it?
That's it.
All right, good. Let's do it. Keys to Victory really quick before we get to bets. Man, we keep having too much fun and we don't get to mailbag.
I know.
I looked at you today and said, don't let me not get to mailbag. And what do?
Come on, guys.
We didn't get to mailbag.
Come on.
No, it's a 30, your fault. All right, real quick. Oklahoma versus K-State. My key to victory there is you got to make K-State play catch up. Mm-hmm. They're not built to come back from more than 10 points. There's some offenses that can spit it out. Adrian Martinez, he throws it good. He runs it good, but he doesn't do anything great. Deuce Vaughn, I love him as a running back. But Kleinman, the way he operates, they are not built to come back. They're built to play, you know, play close games,
no.
Get up, be able to run the ball and run the clock. If you're K-State, just on the opposite side, sit on the ball. You got to keep that Oklahoma offense off the field so you don't get in a position where you're down double digits and have to get outside of your element. Because Adrian Martinez will throw two pick sixes if you give him the chance to. If you have to go and just start throwing it around, Adrian Martinez will make that mistake. He's still got a little bit of Nebraska in him. For USC, you got to score touchdowns in the red zone, not field goals against Oregon State. Nope. You're on the road. This game, Globetrotters, offensive game. They may score 150 combined points. I think the over-under is at 70.5. I may absolutely take Thor's hammer and smash that with lightning and friendship to get it over. And then if you're Oregon State, you got to make USC run the ball. You got to make a beach on the ground. That's easier said than done. I get it. I don't care if you got to do a little, mix up a little three down and dare them to run the ball. I know they have Travis Dye, but dare them to run the ball. You can't let Mario Williams, Jordan Addison, and all those witches get out in the brooms and start going to find the golden snitch in the end zone.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do that.
What do you guys think?
Oklahoma just established the line of scrimmage, playing to Dylan Gabriel's strengths. Dylan's going to have to run a little bit. K-State, you give it to that child, you let him run.
That child. Fun.
You give it to that infant, and you let him run around
like 5'3".
Exactly. And then let's go to USC. USC, just stay within yourself, all right? You trust Caleb Williams. You trust Mario Williams. You trust Jordan Addison. Play to your strengths. Oregon State. Just have cool uniforms, all right?
They do.
Wear your cool uniforms. You look that good, you have a chance in every game you play.
And for Oklahoma, stay balanced, too. They had more rushing yards than passing yards against Nebraska. It was fun to see.
Yeah.
I wanted to give a shout-out really quickly to our boy, Mikro.
New stick, maybe.
Mikro!
Our boy, Mikro,
got us a
sent
hockey
us a
stick.
New Maple Leafs hockey stick. He said, look, guys, I know it's football season. Yeah. I know where your priorities lie. I want you to have a new Toronto Maple Leafs
hockey stick
for when NHL season starts.
Oh, I can't wait.
You are the man. Right, we need to get Braden Point to sign it.
Yeah, I can't wait. We need to do a little hockey.
Thank you, Mikro.
Hockey. We're going to talk a little bit of NASCAR next week, too. It's getting down to the thick of it.
Ooh, I'm going to get in a hockey goalie and see really work the hand-eye coordination.
I want to see it. Really find out.
Yeah.
Get in there and get some answers. Sure. I like that. All right. We also, next week, we're going to pick our Rookie of the Year so far in the NFL, our MVP and Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Well, I'm walking over there.
Question from Wesley. Wesley, we're going to get to your question next week, no doubt.
Yes. And we are going to smash them. Go dwcranemailbag.com. That's it. I think I got it right.
Donation.
Yes, that is right. Oh, donation? Hit
over donation.
Yeah, what does the Booster Club say?
Mildly dramatic end. $20.
Woo!
$20? Man.
Friday night.
This could be a good weekend, boys.
Friday
night race.
He says, for the lattes, granted with inflation, this may only be enough for one. Keep it steady, boys.
By the way, do we have a investigation going on about the person that was supposedly 15-0? I heard in the chat the other day that there's a lot of discrepancies.
I don't know. You know, we're
what's going on in the chat?
We've sent a letter to him that we will be investigated. We're finding the grandmaster right now to really go through the investigation. We're gonna make sure every tone gets turned over, and we'll see
every
the bottom
tone?
Of it.
Every tone gets
stone.
Are you having a stroke?
Stone.
Are you okay?
Are you all right?
Can I not mess up a word, guys? I hear all the time, but I'm a gentleman, and I don't come out here and make fun of you.
What word I mess up?
They're children. You're both children. Don't look at me and make fun of you with a hockey stick. You're 6'9". You're not playing hockey.
Let's hear about the bets you're about to miss. Put me in goal, and let's Igor
Shesterkin
this thing.
I won last month.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
I don't know. I was up 8 units.
Huh?
You won the most money.
You won. I
Me.
This is how we bet.
Me.
This is how we do the betting rules.
Stop trying to change the game.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Stop trying to change the game. Insecurities, Colin.
It's about money.
Give me Virginia. Look at the chat. Virginia and Syracuse, under 56, minus 140.
You're going under, huh?
Yeah, I'm going under. Virginia offensively with Brendan Armstrong. You want to talk about a bad offensive line? You think Virginia Tech's offensive line was bad? I don't know what's going on in Virginia. You can give me Air Force, minus 25. At home, Air Force destroys people. They I know Colorado's not a good team, but they dropped 40 points pretty much every game at home. Nevada, not a very good football team. They made Iowa's offense look competent. That should be enough. I think it's minus 24 is the normal spread. I'm going alternate line, plus 125 and 13 in college football and NFL bets. I'm feeling good about it.
Nice. Syracuse, minus 6. Syracuse been on a roll. Let's see if they can start 4-0.
Dino.
Those odds are at minus 180. And then I'll take Boise State, minus 12.5.
I just hate that game.
Minus 165. You hate that game?
I just hate that game. Boise is just hasn't looked right.
Air Force.
Yeah.
Listen, Air Force was a 17-point favorite against, what was it, Wyoming last week and lost?
Well, that was at Wyoming. Air Force, a way different team at home. Way different team.
I hope so. Well, I'm going to take Syracuse at minus 6. Minus 180.
You're taking a minus 6 or minus 6.5?
So if I can get him a minus 6, minus 180, why would I take him 6.5 for the same odds?
I was just looking at what
give me Air Force minus 19.5, minus 190. I do not like this Air Force bet.
Why not?
Because, man, I watched them against Wyoming, and Wyoming's not a good football team.
And Wyoming can run the ball, and Wyoming
can
hunt.
That's all they
can
do.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I think that game's going off at 23. I think so.
It was at 24 before I saw it.
24?
It was minus
24.
Baby Cone, he's going to go Air Force Nevada over 43, which Air Force may get that by themselves. And then Air Force minus 10.5. He is like, is Baby Cone going to be in the Air Force? He's going to be too tall. He can't.
Air Force minus 10.5.
That's what we've gotten. That's what I've been told, is that I was too tall to be an astronaut or to work for NASA or to get into spaceships. But talking about going to Huntsville, I went to Huntsville to the Space and Rocket Center one time. They said that is not true anymore. They said, we have tall astronauts. They said, the reason you're not making it is not because you're too tall.
They just
tell
you that to make you feel good.
No, they said, the reason you're not an astronaut is not because you're too tall, okay? It's because you're not smart enough. it made me feel a lot better.
Good.
Okay?
Good.
And now I have a hockey stick.
Yeah. And then they gave you the toy out of the chest, like at the end of The Dentist.
You've been there too?
Yeah. That was great. I didn't have the tall thing, though. Not like you. Like, oh, you can make it. All right, here we go. Booster Club leaderboard, Kyle Kennedy is 9-0. Yes, the great-grandson of John F. Kennedy is 9-0. Getting ready to go 10-0. Tall Riots, 5-0. JMPB underscore that only one's 4-0. Scotty in Texas. Scotty down. He's 3-0. Portmanteau, it's 2-0. Cones High Waters, 2-0. JJJJ, BBB, 23. The Red Aaron, win 21-44. And our boy Bracket Dom are all 1-0, trying to keep it steady.
Let's go, Kyle Kennedy.
Real quick.
9-0.
Yeah, come on, Kyle. Come on, Ham. Blaine, you know what? Blaine, what does it say in the Booster Club?
What? Yeah, I put a poll out.
Poll?
Someone said this a little bit earlier in the show. I thought it was somewhat of a good question. I was going to do pancakes, waffles, but I didn't. So who wins the national championship first? Texas A&M or Texas?
Oh, that's a good one. You know what? Give me Texas A&M personally, and I'll say we got enough A&M fans in there and enough people that hate Texas.
I know enough that they don't
A&M
like
59%.
59?
Yep.
Okay. Texas A&M 58%.
Well, you've really been off your pulse on the Booster Club.
Really?
Huh? Yeah.
Texas A&M, 35%.
Whoa, what? The Texas
Texas, fans. 65%.
You know what it was? We titled the show something about Jimbo,
yeah.
About a must win.
Yep.
And the Texas fans came out and they said, they're in here today.
Yep.
All right.
Love it.
We'll go to a little rapid-fire comments.
Let's do it.
JT Bryan says, parting thought, Jake looks like Steve from Blue's Clues with that shirt.
Thank you. I say that
Steve.
All the time.
Like,
that's why I'm upset we didn't get to go mailbag.
Cody Nason, 95, said, I could see Cone being a lockdown defenseman. The next, Zdeno Chara?
Thank you.
You do
Thank
look
you.
Like you played You do look like you played defender for the Netherlands.
Texas Ed said, K-State has beaten Oklahoma two of the last three
years. It's a weird game for him. Sometimes just goes down like that. I think it's a 13-point spread. This is me. Guess what I'm not doing? Touching it.
What would Blaine's batting average be in the MLB?
0.47.
I would say nothing above 50.
Let's go. M. Hutton, I love that boys are talking to producer Justine as though we can hear what she's saying in the ear.
Yes.
Wigs. It's not producer Justine. That is Morgan Freeman. Travis Elrod, hashtag ask Crane and Company. Which is more likely, Cone overthrows Blaine or Blaine drops a pass? Definitely Cone overthrowing me.
Whoa.
That's I'd rather you overthrow me than underthrow me.
Yeah. I had faith
really?
That you were going to go
and
get it.
Really? If he underthrows, you can come back for the ball. If he overthrows, you got no chance.
I don't want to put in that much effort to come back to the ball at that point. Just overthrow me. I'll know you
That's why you'll never bat fist.
You'll know that down. I had the confidence that you were going to go and get it. And
yeah,
that you were fast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Make sure you like and subscribe to the show. We got our Saturday special in the morning. You don't want to miss it. We're going to pick our top two teams from each Power 5 conference right now through a third of the way of the regular season of college football, which saying that brings me sadness that I can only feel Thanos felt after he snapped his fingers.
Hey, there's three-fourths left.
There is three-fourths.
Or whatever.
Right.
Whatever the math is, there's more left.
That's exactly right. Just do that. Make sure you like and subscribe. Appreciate you guys. And like the chances of me giving Aaron Judge his ball back for a signed bat. We're going, gone, losers.